I think one of the biggest things that I feel like I need when I'm meeting anybody that's new is time. I wish I could have as much time as I think I need, as the patient thinks that they need, to, you know, address all the things on my item list, all the things on the patient and the family member's item list. So it always just feels like there's never enough time to do what you need.
Welcome to Health Hats, empowering people as they travel together toward best health. I'm Danny Van Leeuwen, a two-legged, cisgender, old white man of privilege, living in a food oasis who can afford many hats and knows a little bit about a lot of healthcare and a lot about very little. Most people wear hats one at a time, but I wear them all at once. We will listen and learn about what it takes to adjust to life's realities in healthcare's Tower of Babel. Let's make some sense of all of this. So far in this series, we've heard from people with complex illnesses and a parent. Today I'm talking to a physician, Tanilla Brown. Dr. Brown is both a pediatrician and an internal medicine doc, a bridging perspective. As we've heard in the series so far, effective transition is a partnership of the whole team, lay members and professional members of that team. The stories lay people tell often range from awkwardness in the transition to extreme frustration. They expect a lot from medicine and are often disappointed. Do we expect too much from doctors and health professionals? Can they realistically provide what might be needed? Sometimes I think there are similarities of what we expect from schools and teachers. Sometimes we expect teachers to raise our kids, but how can they within the business of education, with testing, with 20 more kids in the class, with our allergy to taxes? And how can docs really be effective in transition with 15 minutes allocated for each visit? They specialize in medicine, not life. This interview with Dr. Brown occurred at the Harvard Medical School Boston Children's Hospital conference called Young Adults with Chronic Conditions, Optimizing Treatment and Transition from Pediatric to Adult Care. The audio quality is fair. Lunch was being served while we chatted. It's interesting to get a perspective from a physician. Hello.
Hello.
I'm here with Tanilla Brown. Tanilla, so if you were at a social event and you were introducing yourself, how would you introduce yourself?
Yeah, I usually just tell people my first name. Call me Tanilla.
Okay. What do you tell them about what you do?
I am a primary care physician in the New Haven area. That means I'm kind of the first person you go to when you're sick or if you need help getting regular medical care. Mm-hmm. And I see adults and kids in New Haven who are just looking for a home, a healthcare home.
Okay. What was happening to you in your life the first time you realized that health was fragile?
Let me think about that for a moment. I'm trying to think to the very, very first time. I think probably the first time it kind of hit me how quickly things can change would be when my own grandfather started to get sick with dementia and started going downhill. So my family's from Jamaica. Typical, you know, story where the grandfather's retired, so he's home. Basically, everybody's kids went to his house after school, and so he, you know, watched me. He made my meals. You know, he was a very important caretaker, a very strong, big, muscular, ex-railroad worker from the island. Lots of personality, and just remember thinking of him as so strong and so much bigger than me. I used to think when I was a kid that adults just grew forever and became giants, and that's where giants came from, because my grandfather was so large. And then by the time I was going to medical school, so I was down in North Carolina, and he, like, things just, you know, declined pretty rapidly. And I would come home periodically because of the distance, and just feeling like he was shrinking, shrinking away, you know? And then my mom calls me and tells me that he's passed on. And I was in the middle of my internal medicine outpatient rotation, being very kind of black and white, you know, factual about it. And in the middle of the sentence, I just burst out in tears. Not a preceptor that I had a close relationship with, or, you know, I think it just all of a sudden hit me. Like,
oh my,
he's really gone, you know? And I was just amazed to see how, what a quick impact
that had.
Chronic disease can have, even on, you know, the strongest giant that I knew personally in my life, you know?
Wow. You're a seasoned physician, and you're straddling these worlds. Has your, like, so what is health, the state of health? Like, what does that look like to you now? Say, maybe as opposed to before you've had all this experience.
You're right that my understanding of wellness and healthy living has changed after medical training. I think perhaps when I was a teenager, it was mostly informed by television media, like, you know, to be healthy is to be, you know, slim and running, exercising all the time and eating all the right things. And I think health now means to me living your best life. There are going to be people that are healthy that when you look at them on the outward appearance, they might look frail. They might be differently abled than me. They might not be able to run a marathon, but they are living their life with purpose. They're able to feel fulfilled and happy. And anytime I can help a patient do that, that's what I'm after.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So we're here at the Young Adult Transitioning from Pediatric to Medical Care Conference. What motivated you to come to this conference?
So it was on the recommendation of a colleague in the pediatrics department. She kind of pitched it after she came back from another Harvard CME. And it just seemed perfectly suited for what I do, since I do see adults and kids. And of the providers in the adult practice, I think I probably have a younger panel because the pediatricians there know me and they're familiar with how I am and they know that I'm comfortable with kids. So I get a lot of the straight out of peds referrals to IM as well. So
I am internal medicine.
Okay. So I was interested to see what are the specific topics that might help me, you know, make those transitions smoother. And in particular, because it's also about kids with chronic disease, kids with special needs. So helping, you know, reset my barometer, if you will, about what are the key healthcare things that I need to be focusing on for this particular special patient population.
See the show notes or my website, www.health-hats.com, for more information or to subscribe or contribute. If you like it, share it. Thanks. So if you were queen for a day and you had your magic wand and, let's say, a couple things could change in your practice to help you help young adults and their family members transition, what would those be?
I think one of the biggest things that I feel like I need when I'm meeting anybody that's new is time. I wish I could have as much time as I think I need, as the patient thinks that they need, to, you know, address all the things on my item list, all the things on the patient and the family member's item list. So it always just feels like there's never enough time to do what you need. So then what drives time? Well, we have to have a certain amount of productivity. We have to see a certain amount of people a day. So time is constrained, so we're always trying to figure out creative ways of expanding time or making time feel like it's expanded even though we are constricted.
Okay.
So that's one thing that, like, in my own personal world, what I feel like I would enjoy the most is to have more time face-to-face with patients, talking with patients, feeling like I could really get to the bottom of things in real time instead of having to come back to it later. The other thing I think would help families transition better in my particular site would be a better understanding of who else in the adult medicine, internal medicine clinic is comfortable accepting younger patients, especially patients with maybe complex medical histories. So there are a lot of correlates between peds and adult medicine, like asthma, inflammatory bowel disease, diabetes. I think pretty much any internal medicine provider feels comfortable with those topics. But things that maybe don't get taught as much in internal medicine would be like, you know, G-tube management.
Dr. Brown refers to a G-tube. A G-tube is a gastrostomy tube, a tube that goes directly into the stomach to feed a person with problems with their gut.
What to do if weight is not going up, how to prevent spasticity, ulcers in kids that have mobility restrictions. So one thing is for families to be able to know who else knows that besides just me at our office. And the second thing would be helping my internal medicine colleagues who aren't familiar with those things to become familiar with them to the point that they might feel comfortable taking on those patients or at least getting resources together so that if they felt out of their depth that they know where to go.
Interesting. I told you that I've been interviewing young adults and their parents, and one of the themes that they have is that there isn't a transition, that there's a series of transitions, and that one of their challenges working in the medical system is that doctors and clinics sort of think black and white. At 19, it's time for a transition, as opposed to 6, and there's a transition, 10, there's a transition, and that age isn't necessarily the right signal that it's time for a transition. So you bridging both worlds, how do you see that?
I think you're right. It might come in a little bit as well from insurance changeovers and things like
okay.
that, where we're getting this age cutoff. Mm-hmm. But development is a spectrum that that happens throughout the lifespan.
Yeah.
And the way that I interview and examine a newborn is different than how I would approach a 2-year-old,
mm-hmm.
is different than how I would try to interview a 5 or 10-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, there is a lifespan transition that's happening.
Mm.
One of the things I think I'm picking up from this conference, which is just to make that a little bit more concrete to the pediatricians that I work with and the families that I work with, to say, to be thinking earlier on, like, hey, you know, you're 10 now, you're getting into that adolescent range. I want you to start thinking about having your own list of things you mm-hmm. want to bring. One thing that the conference is prompting in me is about discussing this earlier.
Uh-huh.
So because it is a spectrum, I think there's benefits to starting to introduce that topic earlier. It's not supposed to be so black and white. And if we can make it a little bit more, you know, pastel and watercolors, it won't feel so jarring to families. Because I think, you know, one of the other concepts that's been brought up is about this abandonment idea.
Yes.
And I definitely don't think on the provider side, it's hard for us to. I don't think we want to let go. When you're the internal medicine doctor receiving, you want to have a good relationship. You want to have a good vibe with the patient. We don't want anybody to feel like they're being cut off and tossed to the wind.
Yeah.
I think part of making it, you know, less of a distinct endpoint and softening it a bit would help sometimes with families feeling so alienated from their old provider. You know?
Yeah. Last question.
Yeah.
I'll let you go. Here we are at this conference. What should I be asking you about related to young adults who are transitioning from pediatric to adult?
Yeah, so the thing that I think I would most like to address or make a statement if I'm able to do that,
you are.
Would be, you know, the perceptions about internal medicine being uninviting to families or harsh for families. I've heard this before. I'm MedPeach trained, and so I spent time in like 50-50, three months in pediatrics, 3 months in internal medicine, back and forth for 4 years all throughout my residency training.
Wow.
And you hear it on both sides, like, what are pediatricians like? What are internal medicine doctors like? So I'm familiar with that idea. I feel like I want young adults to know that the internal medicine clinics are full of very smart and friendly and fun to hang around people who aren't going to be mean or harsh, and that we value families as very much so, and family participation probably just as much as pediatric clinics do. We probably involve or emphasize families in a slightly different way, but I haven't met anybody so far in my internal medicine colleagues or in my training where they wouldn't want family involvement, or that they're going to all of a sudden like put the smack down on a teenager. So if anything is to let people know that, you know, we're excited to meet, and that we do still think of the comprehensive patient, so the whole patient, which means their relationships, their families, all other aspects as well. And I think parents are welcome as well. We may want you to speak up more for yourself, maybe than the pediatrician might, but it certainly it's a welcoming environment for family involvement, because really it's a team that helps you be well as well out in the real world. So I think that's the main thing that I would want to say.
Well, that's brilliant. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for talking with me.
It's a pleasure. Thank you. I appreciate that Dr. Brown, Tanilla, brought up the issue of time. When I did an unscientific survey of people who are managing, making decisions about chronic pain, the most common frustration was not having enough time with doctors who listen and work together to find solutions with people with pain. Now, as I work on a project about patient-centered clinical decision support, fancy words for using electronic tools and making decisions together, the subject of time comes up there too. There is this idea that technology might make things more efficient, run more smoothly, take less time. I have my doubts. Can anything replace the moments of mutual engagement face-to-face? Yes, video chats, text messaging, online frequently asked questions, a plan that everyone a person chooses can use and help access all help. But they take time to learn, and the state of sick is a bad time to learn. We still need time, more time. This is a function of the business of healthcare and of policy. It's also another topic for another day. Still, I appreciate that Dr. Brown recognized and highlighted this frustration. Follow my blog, podcasts, and resources through my website. See you around the block.